Welcome to the Optimizing Beyond podcast. I'm Josh Nagron, and this show's all about sharing lessons, ideas, and strategies that sharpen your thinking, strengthen your habits, and push you to grow beyond comfort zones. Let's dive in. Last week, we talked about discipline, and today we're exploring how that same intentionality transforms our relationships from transactional to truly transformational. We'll unpack listening versus hearing, value alignment, emotional intelligence and hard conversations, and how to coach with curiosity. With the goal to build relationships that grow people together and forward, not just for the outcomes. It's possible that most relationships fail not because of conflict, but because they stop transforming and communicating. And we're going to talk about how curiosity is the currency of transformation. Let's get into it. There's a pretty big difference between listening and hearing. Connection begins when we feel understood. We've all talked to someone who really doesn't seem very interested in what we're saying or doesn't seem to be listening. You can feel it almost instantly. They're nodding, but they're just not with you. True communication transcends just hearing words. It's about understanding the message. It's a two-way street where feedback and clarification are vital. I've recently heard it put this way: you always have the right to ask clarifying questions, because that's how you gain clarity and avoid getting stuck in assumptions. Sounds simple enough, but what keeps us from actually asking more questions? I think it's things like fear or annoyance. We've all been there. When you ask too many questions of your significant other or maybe your boss, and that other person gets irritated with you, you're like, fine, I'm not asking any more questions. But think about the alternative. What happens if you don't ask? That's right, assumptions. And we all know what that makes you. Assumptions replace communication and quietly degrades it over time. Another key component of effective communication is active listening. This involves fully concentrating, understanding, and responding, and then remembering what was being said. It's not just about waiting for your turn to speak. Some great speakers like John Maxwell have reminders like this: one of the greatest gifts you can give someone is the gift of your attention. And for my leaders out there, he says, leaders listen, learn, then lead. In that order, of course. Another important ingredient is that communication is incomplete without feedback. It confirms your message landed the way you intended, and if it didn't, it gives you a chance to adjust. One of my favorites is customer service reps, because they're trained to repeat what you say and summarize it to make sure they understand what they need to be working on for you. Now, that's super helpful when you have a 7-paragraph statement and story about what's going on. They have to work kind of hard to summarize that for you. But I find it humorous when you're calling in and they say, how can I help you? And you say, well, I have some questions about my bill. And their response is, so if I understand you correctly, you have some questions on your bill. Did I get that right? And it's just comical because I literally just said that, right? So when someone does this well, it's helpful when it's appropriate. But conversely, if someone doesn't do this well or doesn't do this at all, what if something didn't quite land well and they don't clarify? And that's where misunderstandings come into play. In your next conversation, practice active listening. Pay attention not just to the words, but also the nonverbal cues, because so much communication isn't just verbal, and ask for feedback to ensure your message was received as intended. Here's some things you can say. So what I hear you saying is, did I get that right? Or, are you saying, summarize what you think they're saying? And then here's an extra one. Like if you're hurt or currently upset by someone, you can say something like this. When you did or said, insert here, it made me feel like this. Is that how you wanted me to feel? This shows them your perspective without immediately blaming them or attacking them personally. It lets them hear that before getting defensive and can help them respond typically in no and then clarify what they were trying to say, and hopefully helping you guys understand each other better. Speaking of tough conversations, listening is the discipline. Empathy's the posture. Let's bring them together in these hard moments. This is where emotional intelligence and grace in hard conversations come into play. Seeking to understand before seeking to be understood. That order really matters. Instead of assuming negative intent, start with curiosity. Ask questions, learn their logic behind their words or behavior. That posture gives the gift of humility. It honors that they might have a valid different perspective that maybe you hadn't considered. By starting with positive intent, you extend grace and create space that maybe there's a reason they're being unpleasant, annoying, or yeah, even hurtful. Patiently wait with patience and grace, yes, double on purpose, to see if it's an isolated event or the beginning of a pattern, at which point a courageous conversation is going to be necessary. Most types of conflict don't even make me anxious anymore, and I'm proud of that growth. But here's something I'll say. I've also learned the discernment of the times to choose not to have conflict. Not because I'm avoiding it, because I recognize the issue is actually me. Rather than trouble the other person or give them a complex, I challenge myself to adjust or just simply let it go. A lot of pet peeves are this way. For me, I have a hard time when people chew or drink loudly when there's not a lot of ambient sound. So restaurants, coffee shops, I'm usually okay. But if it's a more intimate setting, sometimes that can really flare up. And it can really be disruptive if I say things, particularly when you're irritated, you may not communicate, hey, you're being a little loud when you eat. Usually it's a little more abrupt than that. The way my wife and I have solved this is when we eat dinner, we usually put something on in the background, like maybe some music or a TV show for that matter. And that way, if she is chewing or drinking loudly, I don't even hear it. It helps me not get irritated, and it helps her not have a complex, get self-conscious about it. Because I know most times it's me. So I just try to find ways to let it go, because even addressing it kindly could make that person second-guess themselves. This is emotional intelligence. It's the ability to understand and manage your own emotions and how you respond to others. Empathy and understanding create that connection. A pro tip here is, as emotions rise, if you can feel yourself amping up, try to deepen your breathing. I would recommend you do this quietly, because a big dramatic sigh in the middle of a tough conflict may not work out too well. And also, remember to allow them to have emotions. They're allowed to feel. You're responsible not for their emotions, but for your response to them. Now, if someone offers you candid feedback, I recommend you reward it. This is how you get more of it. If you react defensively or shut it down, you'll train people to either never give you feedback or just become yes men and tell you what they think you want to hear. Leaders, listen up. You need to cultivate a culture of feedback, not a culture of fear. When we align on that and we take in feedback, conflict can become collaboration. This type of value alignment creates a shared direction. This moves us from competing agendas to a shared mission. It also gets easier the more they know you care. You may have heard before, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You also can't mentor someone if you're not close to them. So, work together towards something you both value. It's easier to find harmony when you're rowing in the same direction. This value alignment creates acceleration towards growth or resolution, whichever you're looking for. And that shared direction reduces friction. With these values, coaching becomes a conversation, not a command or an order. But in these coaching moments, it's super important to ask before you advise. This type of curiosity earns influence, because advice without context erodes trust. People aren't interested. This is where that early listening pays off. When people feel heard, when you offer advice, they're far more open to it. If you've ever had any conversation with anyone, you know that perspectives are diverse. So remember, listen actively and try to understand their view. Don't wait for your turn to talk, just be present. People feel valued when they feel understood. Ask clarifying questions and acknowledge their valid points. A little curiosity goes a long way. dig deeper, and give credit where it's due. And if you've got a counterpoint or a hard truth you need to communicate, bring evidence and avoid being dismissive of their feelings or emotions. Facts don't have to be a slap in the face. Share truth with kindness and respect. Maybe they've never considered what you're offering, so give them room to wrestle with it and maybe even push back a little. The right environment makes these habits normal. That's where identity and community matter so much. Transformation happens when reflection meets that honesty. This is where identity, belonging, and community all come together. Because you become like the people you're consistently around. So many successful people say, "Show me your closest five people and I'll show you your future." If you're not challenged and learning regularly in the rooms you're in, you may need to find a different room. If you're the biggest fish in the pond, hey, find a different pond. I talk often about the importance of community and your tribe because it's so invaluable. Community can completely change your life. Trust me, I know. That's one of the things it's for. And when talking about this, I often think about iron sharpening iron. It isn't just a slogan, it's a way of life. But even in that meaning, it induces friction. It means I'm open to being refined and willing to refine others with grace. You can build that skill and then protect it. It's so valuable. Here are some fundamentals to help keep conversations clear and healthy. So here are three great ways to keep your conversations clear. Number one, use a clear tone. Being concise prevents confusion. It's not about fancy words. It's about being straightforward and understandable. For example, if you're the kind of person that rambles on, you can really send multiple different messages. You risk contradicting yourself or even just not getting to the heart of the issue. The second is be responsible and aware of your body language. Remember, a huge portion of communication is nonverbal. Tone, posture, eye contact, they often say way more than your words. If someone calls out that your body language is actually communicating something different than what you expect, practice humility. Just because you didn't say it doesn't mean you didn't send it. Stay curious and ask questions. And number three, practice global awareness. In a diverse world, respect cultural differences. In a diverse world, be aware of cultural differences in communication. For example, the easiest one is humor doesn't always translate to different cultures or languages. So keep a humble learning posture. So let's land this with a simple practice you can use this week. We've talked about how relationships thrive on curiosity, not control, listening before advising, aligning on values, and speaking with grace that turns conflict into growth and conversations into transformation. We also discussed how mutual refinement, that iron sharpens iron dynamic, happens when attention, empathy, and truth work together. The more you're willing to press into this uncomfortable process, the more exponential growth you can experience together. So here's a practical playbook on transformational relationships. Number one, pause before reacting. Use things like breath and curiosity to shift from reaction to reflection and then respond. Count to three before replying in a heated moment. Number two, assume positive intent. When a message feels harsh, ask for clarity before you assume anything. Curiosity and humility helps lower walls. And number three, reflect and refine. End each week by reviewing one interaction that you could improve, and then journal about it. Ask yourself, where did I react instead of respond? And now let's cover a few objections or myths about relationships. Number one is strong relationships mean always agreeing or avoiding conflicts to maintain peace. I don't think so. True peace is built through honesty and grace. Conflict handled well deepens trust. It's the difference between peacekeeping and peacemaking. Peacekeeping avoids conflict to keep the peace. Peacemaking means you have to address what's going on. Next is to lead well, you must always give more than you receive. This is something I hear a lot of leaders do. They put themselves last. They don't take care of themselves very well because they're always serving everyone else. And eventually they just run out of time. You can't keep pouring out of a container if you're not pouring back into. So healthy leaders know to allow themselves to be poured into, from mentors to healthy relationships to practicing intentional rest and more. Here's your challenge this week. Ask before you advise. In your next meaningful conversation, I want you to ask three open-ended questions before offering any advice. Then reflect on what you heard. Say things like, "Here's what I'm hearing. Did I get that right?" And then, if advice is welcome, share it with kindness and evidence, not as a verdict, but as a collaborative step to help that other person. If you want to be elite at this, the best people I know don't make statements. They actually ask curious questions, and it's gold. And here's a bonus one. Try a listening audit this week. Notice where you're wanting to speak versus seeking to understand, and then make the switch. You'll love it. It'll really make a difference. So let's recap. Today, we talked about transformation being ongoing, refinement, not arrival. Remember, not perfectionism, but a pursuit of excellence. We are anchoring that identity into something deeper than performance. And this will help you stop treating relationships like transactions. My people pleasers out there, you know what I'm talking about. Serving people to get your needs met. We'll save that for another episode. So start here by using these concepts as a training ground for grace, truth, and growth in your relationships. Doing this regularly changes everything, especially how you show up for people. Trust me, they'll notice. Be sure to join us next week because we're going to talk about gratitude as a strategy, training the brain to see good. Next week, we'll move from emotional regulation to emotional training. Gratitude isn't just positive vibes or a feeling. It's a practice that rewires attention, reduces reactivity, and accelerates trust at work, at home, with your relationships, and even yourself. I'll show you a 5-minute daily drill to turn gratitude into a neurological superpower. Thanks for listening to the Optimizing Beyond podcast. Remember, growth happens when you take action. So subscribe, share this with a friend, and most importantly, put what you learned into practice. Until next time, keep moving forward because daily anything changes everything.